Well, as you've heard today, we're marking CAFM Sunday. That's our internal acronym, Children and Families Ministry at St. Hilary's. Why are we talking about CAFM Sunday? Well, this year we've marked Mission Sunday and Hope Sunday, and we always do these things to raise the profile of these ministries, but also periodically to intentionally lift our eyes towards the broader mission of the church that happens beyond these walls. And we might think of children's ministry as that thing we do because we have kids in our church, albeit not usually in this congregation. But in fact, at St. Hilary's, CAFM is much more part of the missional work of this church, just like the food drive or the mission partners or anything else that we do. In a few moments, we'll unpack this brief passage that Conrad read for us just a moment ago. But before we do, I want to contextualise some of the missional work that CAFM does in the life of our church. And so a couple of slides. Amanda prepared these slides, and I'm going to, if you can't read them, it's okay. I'm going to talk about what they say anyway. But a recent report by Ridley College and the Melbourne Anglican Diocese together revealed that in any given month, there are 3,688 unique children aged 0 to 12 attending Sunday schools or midweek programs at least once a month in the life of the Melbourne Church. At St. Hilary's, across our three churches, we have 624 kids who are part of our ministries. So if you do the math, that means that one in six kids attending a church ministry in this diocese are doing it here at St. Hill, 17%. Here on this campus, St. Augustine's, prior to COVID lockdowns, the 11 a.m. congregation didn't have a Sunday school ministry. Now they are thriving, outgrowing their spaces, and often have Sunday numbers comparable to Q. Historically, of course, prior to St. Augustine's joining St. Hilary's, there had been a rich history of kids ministry here too, thriving Sunday school. I'm told St. Augustine's was the first church in Australia to run Messy Church, and we have that painting that's still in the hall that came from one of those Messy Church sessions. Kath and Robin ran Messy Church here for many years, and also the kindergarten, and sorry, not Messy Church, mainly music rather, and also served in the kindergarten. And I'm even told that Barbara received a reward for being the longest serving playgroup facilitator for many years. So it's part of our DNA, and not just, you know, when I say our DNA, St. Hills, this church, this congregation here as well. And it's no doubt a joy to you, as it is for me, that with the Mandarin ministry coming to St. Augustine's, this church is bustling with little people once again. My little girl, who featured in the video up there, is 10, going on 16. She's starting to feel more like a teenager than a child these days. She's becoming very independent. But it feels like yesterday that she relied on us for everything. I remember that phase of, you know, sleep, feed, nappy change, repeat. I remember how fragile and helpless she was, totally trusting in us for her every need. Of course, as we come to today's gospel passage and we see people bringing children to Jesus, we know that in that society, they were perhaps even more fragile. They were more susceptible to adverse conditions of all kind. Sadly, things like infant mortality and abandonment were prevalent in those days. Sickness, less cures for things. They may be valued for their future contribution to a family, especially boys in that culture. But as babies held little intrinsic value, they had no honour, no status, no authority, and certainly no material wealth. They were literally the lowest in society. Sometimes the Bible uses this word in this way, not to speak of physical infants, but rather those who were the lowly ones of society, those without rights, without a voice. And so what Jesus does here in this passage is kind of shocking, because he, as he often does, reverses the expectations. He essentially says three things. He says, first of all, that kids are worthy of his time and attention. Secondly, that kids are already now members of God's kingdom, not just one day, but now. And thirdly, that kids have something to teach us. So not only that we teach them, but they have something to teach us. So I want to look briefly at those three things. Firstly, kids are worthy of Jesus' time and attention. At my previous church, we had a saying. We used to say this at the start of every youth camp or any sort of children kind of event. In the faith life, there is no distinction between young and old. In faith life, you can be a disciple of Jesus at any age. And in life, we think about rights that come at different ages, right? So controversially at the moment, our state's discussing, you know, what age can a child be convicted as an adult? There's the age that you can access social media or have your own phone. That's very debatable at my phase of parenting. And the age, of course, when you can be served alcohol, drive a car, or have a right to vote. But the Christian life reverses all of that. It says kids can engage their faith, can know Jesus, can be citizens and recipients of the kingdom of heaven here and now. And even more than that, they are models of how we can do that well. Now, this, of course, should inform how we organise and prioritise ministry at this church. I am, for example, proud of the fact that the CAFM department employs Amanda, Joe, Anita and Tiffany in total for 10 days per week. I wish it were more. But even these 10 days says to those who are looking on that it's a priority. Furthermore, a significant part of our budget is committed to the work of children's ministry, and the ministry itself is continually evolving and changing to meet the needs of our young people and their families. If I can turn your attention briefly to some American data by a group called Barna. Now, they say that 43% of individuals accept Jesus Christ as their Saviour before the age of 13. 64% of individuals make their commitment to Christ before the age of 18, and 77% of all individuals who accept Jesus do so before the age of 21. Now listen to this one. By the time a child is 9 years old, his or her basic moral foundation has already been formed, and by age 13, a person has formed the majority of his or her basic beliefs about God. So this is how important it is that as a church we're invested in this ministry. So this emphasises the first point, that kids are worthy of Jesus' time and attention and therefore worthy of ours. We do not invest time, energy and money into CAFM because it is the trending thing to do. We do that because missionally and evangelistically this is the best time to help form people in the way of Jesus. Peter Adam, you know, the former principal of Ridley, he often would give talks and sometimes still gives talks about the importance of raising up gospel workers. And he'll say, you know, in his talk, you know, where will we find these gospel workers? And he says, go and look in your youth group. But then he says, you know, go and look in your Sunday school. Go and look in your creche. Go and look in the strollers for where you'll find the next generation of gospel workers. So kids are worthy of Jesus' time and attention and therefore worthy of ours. That's the first point. Second point, kids are already members of God's kingdom. The next section of the passage that we didn't read this morning, but it goes kind of hand in hand, is about the rich young ruler. These stories are often read side by side because they contrast the person who has all the earthly influence, possessions and riches, and the ones who have none, i.e. the small children. God wants us to see and understand from this that where we would conventionally look for wisdom and knowledge is not where we actually find it. We find it over here. The rich young ruler was not only well-resourced in the world's eyes, he was also a faithful believer who had followed the commandments and sought to live a holy life. But he walks away sad because his riches and his status ultimately prevent him fully giving himself over to Jesus. Children, especially small children, they have no such compulsion. They understand the language of love and trust and compassion long before they understand the language of power, money, influence, or status. And therefore, in a paradoxical way, Jesus says, these kids get it. And this rich ruler, with all his learning and all his intellectual devotion, does not, at least not entirely. You know, I was thinking about, I know a couple of you have kids who, or big kids, grown-up kids, who fly aeroplanes. And, you know, what do they say in the safety, one of the things they say in the safety video of the aeroplane, you know, like, in the event of an emergency, leave everything behind and get out of the plane. And, you know, often, you know, I think in this life we have things that hold us back. You know, they say that because if we stopped to get our bags and our possessions and whatever else we had, we'd likely perish in the moment, right? If we're honest, most of us have an aspect of this in our lives too. We hold on to something, whether it's pride or status or culture or whatever it might be, that prevents us from embracing Jesus and the kingdom in the tangible way that the scriptures invite us to. Remember that in the faith life, there is no distinction between young and old. And therefore, it is important today, as we consider this passage, to ask the question, what, if anything, holds me back? Does anything else other than God receive my worship? And if the answer is yes, then how can I confess that and relinquish that so that I can step into even greater relationship with my Heavenly Father? So they're the first two things. Kids are worthy of Jesus' time and attention and therefore worthy of ours. Kids are already now members of God's kingdom. And then thirdly and finally, kids have something to teach us. You know, Amanda, who's our CAFM director, she's ordained and obviously has done lots of theological studies. She'll often say to me, I learn so much from the kids. And this, of course, is because it's a different type of learning, isn't it? We may not necessarily learn intellectually from children, though we might, but we see discipleship, that learning and following Jesus in the purest and most unadulterated way with kids. And so it's important as we think about CAFM Sunday and the work of this kind of arm of the church that it isn't just about us inputting into them or attending to the needs of children, though that's part of kids' ministry, but actually spending time with children helps us grow more into the image and likeness of Jesus. And some people say to me, you know, and I don't think they mean to be rude when they say this, you know, like I learn more ministering with kids and I learn from your sermons, you know. I said earlier that I remember as though it was yesterday that phase of life when Mary was an infant who literally relied on us for everything. I was 37 when she was born. I was already ordained and had completed substantial theological study and had been walking with Jesus for well over 20 years. And yet I learned something about God the Father in becoming a father. I remember thinking what a privilege it was for God to entrust this little human to me, to father her as he fathers me. I remember lots of times when I didn't know what to do, and yet this little person just gave herself over to me, trusted me. And fast forward 10 years, I'm still amazed at how much my daughter loves me and trusts me with her life, her dreams, her projects, her ambitions. And I'm so conscious of holding those things gently and graciously. Kids really teach us to come to Jesus in this way. Long after we've left this phase of life and have become adults with responsibilities and commitments and problems to solve and ailments to deal with, Jesus looks at us and says, become like them. And so for us as a church, this means investing. It means investing time, money, and resources. It means investing prayer. And it means investing in service. And so on this CAFM Sunday, the first thing that I want to say to all of you is thank you. Thank you. Each week you come, each week you financially sow into this church. You invest in these facilities so that kids can come and go every day of the week. I mean, I was here yesterday bringing my daughter to the orchestra that's meeting here, and the place was teeming with children, which is just great. And so thank you. Thank you for that, and thank you for your legacy. We mentioned earlier people who've done lots of serving in kids' ministry over the years, and they're just the ones that I know about. I'm sure there are others too. So thank you. If you're not already doing this, can I ask you to also be active in praying for the kids who come here, the kids who don't come here? Not only for those who come, but for those who live in the neighbourhood, those who go to our local schools. Pray for our team, for Amanda and Joe and Anita and Tiffany. Pray for Carolyn, who's our link chaplain at Mont Alpert Primary School, that our giving supports her work as well. Someone you might not know yet that came and approached Yicheng and I recently is Elizabeth Senior, who is now recently the chaplain at Kunang Secondary School, which is just a stone's throw from here as well. Pray for her. These kids are all on our doorstep, and we would love for them to all come to know Jesus. Let's not underestimate the power of prayer to move mountains. And of course, if you have capacity to serve anywhere, Catherine's looking for another 36 people to join the team next year to keep delivering the ministries that it is currently running. There's a whole range of ages of people who are involved, but in Sunday Club, particularly at Q, midweek ministries, mostly tend to be retired people who help with midweek ministries. The younger people, they help on the weekends because they can't do it during the week. It's wonderful. So just to be aware of that. And of course, we want to be able to keep delivering the ministries that we're delivering, but we have a heart to increase our efforts too. And so in a moment, we're going to hear from Teresa as well. She'll give you a bit of a testimony of the kind of work that she's been engaged with for a long time. Yicheng's got some cards he's going to hand out as well. And the cards are just about, how you can be praying and how you can be engaged with this ministry. But as I wrap up my message this morning, I just want to sit with these themes, that kids are worthy of Jesus' time and attention and therefore worthy of ours. Kids are already now members of God's kingdom. And kids have something to teach us. And so let's keep investing, let's keep praying, let's keep building up the young disciples in our church. Let me pray.